The title of this message is Going and Growing the Kingdom. Going and Growing the Kingdom. Matthew 11:12. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, from these days, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. We have been talking about the kingdom. We have been talking about why God has come. We have found out that the kingdom of God has always been and always will be. That there was warfare in heaven and the enemy was vanquished from there. The enemy came to earth. He deceived Adam and Eve and thereby had a coup d'etat, successfully took over the earth and the dominion of the earth from Adam and Eve, enslaved every person born into sin, and God, because of His great love for man, was not going to allow this to happen to man. And last week, we talked about the birth of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to tell you that His birth was not by accident. It was purposed by God to invade the land. I am talking militarily, and we must understand what this scripture is talking about in order for Streams of Life and the Church of Jesus Christ to advance in doing the Great Commission. Amen? Amen. There are two keys, two words in this scripture that is very, very important for us to understand. One is a compound Greek word, and the other one is a derivative of that compound Greek word. Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I'm here to tell you today that the warfare that we have suffered as a church, as an individual, as a family, is prescribed by the enemy. He does not want you or me to succeed in fulfilling our destiny. That is the fact. God is not the author of your pain and suffering. God is not the author of your lack of prosperity or health. God is not the author of your poverty. God is not the author of your situation that you find yourself in. Then who is? Be Satan. Satan has a plan to keep God's people impotent and from achieving the greatest desire of God, and that is to take dominion once again upon this earth. Do you believe that? It's true. I'm here to tell you the truth today, that you and I must take our place in God's order, because if we do not, the souls of millions of people are at stake. That is a terrible responsibility that you and I will have to give an account to when we stand before the Lord. God has an awesome plan for Streams of Life. It is awesome. It requires each and every one of us to do our part, not to expect that someone else will do it for us. God has such an awesome plan for us that all quibbling, all backbiting, all insolence, all slander must be put away in order for us to be unified in attacking the enemy. Stop attacking each other. The job of the church is to edify, encourage, and exhort each and every one of us, whether it's in our individuality, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's in our family raising, and not to listen to what the world or the unsaved is saying to us to be like them. You are no longer citizens of this realm. You are citizens of a heavenly realm. And of that, God requires so much more of us. Are you ready? Are you ready to lay down the junk? Are you ready to lay down all the things that you think that's important in order to take upon yourself the most important objective that God has designed us to do. If you are, give God a hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Understanding this verse is to understand to suffer violence. The Greek word is biasai tai. It is an idea that is associated that it is not a passive word, which means that it is not that we sit by and let this violence to come upon us. It is an active verb that means that it was designed from the beginning to attack you and attack me, because we have been originally citizens of the kingdom of God from the foundations. That was God's plan from the foundation. And this has been a design by Satan to keep us ignorant of who we are. Who are we, Nick? Okay. Who are we, Irene? We're saints. We're chosen of the King. I'll tell you who we are. We're children of the Most High God. We are chosen by God to begin to herald the great news that God is coming and He wants you to come and be part of His family. Amen. That's who we are. That's our message. But you know what? We're finding out that we're not getting the message out. We're not getting the message out. Why? Because we are passive. We are passive in our mentality. We are passive in our disciplines. We are passive in our response, not reaction. Because we do that really well. We react really well. But we are passive in our response to the enemy who hates us before time began. What I have seen this past year going on, not only in my family and the pressures that have come on that's associated with the building project and all, is this intense pressure externally coming upon our spirits to cause our family to become reactionary. And to a certain degree we did, but we responded mostly by either edifying or encouraging one another. I had two times I almost had such a meltdown. If it wasn't for my wife to be there to help me, the project would not have gone forward. How many of us have suffered things this year that we blamed everybody else but the person who's at fault? Satan. We blame God. We blame our brothers. We blame our sisters. We blame our husbands. We blame our wives. We blame our kids. We blame our jobs. We blame everybody. But to the person who's behind the scenes doing this, who is corrupting our minds to focus on one another, that you're the problem. And he laughs when we react and become accusers of the brethren. What does this look like? What does this assault look like? Let me tell you what this assault looks like. Turn to James, the 4th chapter. James 4, we're going to read the first 12 verses. And as you're turning, I'm going to start. Because I don't have a lot of time, and I've got a lot of space to cover. James 4, 1 through 12. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You covet and kill, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. You do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says without reason that the spirit He caused to live in us tends towards envy? But He gives us more grace. That is why the Scriptures say God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are keeping it. You are not keeping it, but you are sitting in it on judgment. There is only one lawgiver and judge, and the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I want you to see that there's so much in there. I could preach a month of Sundays and still not scratch the depths of what God's saying. Satan puts a desire within us that is not God. And what we do is we entertain that desire. Why? Because we want to be able to be like everybody else in the world. And when we're not accepted, we fight and quarrel with each other instead of realizing we are spiritual people encapsulated in a flesh body with a soul that contains our mind, wills, and emotion that is running rampant even as I'm speaking right now. Our minds have not been disciplined or brought under the control of our spirit because our spirits have not been brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is we react instead of respond as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that's where we fight with one another because we feel that we have either been violated, misunderstood, or basically felt like a piece of dirt because no one has given us the respect or honor that we feel has been taken from us. God is not a respecter of any person. He will honor you as you honor him. That is why it says for us to humble ourselves. I've heard people, and it makes me sick to hear people say, God, humble. Make me more humble. It's not God's responsibility to make you more humble. The Bible says, humble yourselves. It's your responsibility and my responsibility to go before God and humble ourselves. In that time when we go before Him, before His throne, He gives us grace. And this grace is what empowers us through the Holy Spirit to become more like Jesus as we walk through this life. Our spirits grow strong. We are able to discern that what is going on, why a person is reacting the way they are, is not because of who that person is. That person is doing what's natural. We are supernatural people. That means we must put into practice supernatural power at once, not after the fact. Let me give you an example. How many was here that day when God was all over me and in me and we lined everybody up and we started praying and the Spirit of God was so powerful it knocked a couple people into the chairs? How many was there? That was an awesome display of God, not me. God wants to use you even more powerfully than He used me that day. Do you believe that? You have to understand that if your spirit is not right with God, He's not going to use you. I don't care what gifts you got. I don't care what's going on. The enemy will turn that gifting and make it so distasteful that nobody wants to hear what God's got to say. The power that I'm talking about is a power that is unified in God in demonstration of love. Demonstration of love. Warfare happens because we are not loving. We are unlovable. We are selfish. We are self-centered. And Satan feeds us the garbage. And we would rather believe the garbage that's going through our mind than to hear the truth. And the truth is what God says. God says we must humble ourselves before Him. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Resist it is a word that means to wrestle with, to do combat, like hand-to-hand combat. You know, you are special forces in the hands of God. You are Satan's worst nightmare. And if you come to the reality and understanding that who you are is more powerful than what Satan is and his whole army is, you can come to understand just how powerful God is, and He wants to use you. He wants to use you in a way that will change people's lives and win them to the kingdom before it's too late. That's what we're here for. So what if they spit on you? So what if they talk bad about you? So what if you don't get the Christmas present that you wanted? So what? We're not to be like the world. We're supposed to be like our King. And what He's holding in trust for us is far more valuable than any of this junk that's down here. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. I lost my job because, well, how'd you lose your job? Well, you know, I stole some stuff. Why'd you steal some stuff? Well, because, you know, I wanted it. Why did you want it? It comes down to the basic is I have an evil desire that was planted into my mind, that filtered into my heart. And my heart said, yeah, this is great. I'll go do this. And I invoked my flesh to commit the crime. And I lost my job. And we expect God to do something about that. My Bible tells me that if I've committed a crime, I must repay before I can advance in the kingdom of God. And we have this light and darkness going on all the time in which we have to understand this battle is real, church. This battle is going to take everything that you have, everything that you think about, every resource that is at hand, and use it so that God can receive the glory. But what we want to do is we want to claim everything for ourselves and thank God and not give Him any glory whatsoever. And that's where we come into this biting stuff. The other word that we need to know that is important is a word that's very close to it, and that is biastai. This word's associated with those who are enlightened to the truth and are aggressively taking assertive actions against spiritual enemies of the kingdom of heaven that try to stymie the kingdom's influence upon unlightened people to the truth of Jesus Christ. I said a whole lot, but what does that mean? It means that there is a warfare that is going on. Remember I said Satan's job is to keep us from receiving the truth to get saved. If he can't keep us from receiving the truth, his next job is to keep us from receiving the truth about who we are. If he can't stop us from receiving the truth of who we are, he will try to stop us from utilizing the power and authority that is already given to us in Jesus Christ. This word means that those who have already been enlightened and believe the Word of God in such a way that they are aggressively, they have had their minds renewed, they have taken everything, they have aggressively changed the way they think, changed the way they behave, changed the way that they respond to what the world says is important for the purpose of winning lost souls and bring them into the kingdom for God's glory so that His house can be full. That's what that scripture is talking about. It's telling us that there's a real warfare going on, and only really courageous people, which is you, and you, and you, and you, you are far more courageous than you can believe because God says you are. And if God is for you, who can be against you? You're in a majority. Actually, you're in the palms of God's hand. He's going to do it. He's going to do it as we open our mouths to share what God's doing in our lives. As we open up our mouths and tell Him what God's doing with our fellowship. As we open up our mouths and tell other people that, you know, God's got a plan and our church is doing this and this is what God's doing. And boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. And the next thing you know, the power of God arises within the church and the Spirit of God comes upon His church and miraculous things happen. And we call that revival. There have been many revivals that have happened in the world, but there was one revival in April 14th, 1906, that has changed the complexion of what Christianity is all about. And that revival ran for 9 years. It was Azusa Street, Los Angeles, California. Brother Seymour, black one-eyed pastor, and four other people asked God for souls. And you know what? Hundreds of thousands of people came to Jesus Christ. They didn't send flyers. They didn't do door knocking. They didn't do anything. But they got on their knees and humbled themselves before God and asked God for His will. And then they did it. 9 years. The longest revival that has been documented in American history. It went around the world. It was the first time that a revival that started in a country went around the world. And from that revival, faith was restored to the church. From that revival, healings were manifested back into the church. From that revival, the Holy Spirit was in control of what He wanted to do through the church. And from that, we had people like Billy Graham come through, Billy Sunday come through as translocal evangelists. We've had Catherine Coleman come through as a healing minister. Many women were involved in this ministry, directly or indirectly. John Lake, who was a minister, a doctor, became a minister of healing. And you've heard me talk about John Lake, that in the church that he had in Spokane, Washington, outside he built a pyramid of all the crutches, wheelchairs, leg garments, arm garments, cast and all, of people that were supernaturally healed through the Spirit of God. And what they did was they threw them up as they left the church that day. Don't you want to see that, church? Don't you want to be a part of that? Don't you want God to really use you in such a way that the excitement that is contained within my spirit would just literally incinerate you guys? I can see God doing this, and I want to see Him do this. And you've heard me say, I want to see power come back into the church. Well, it's about ready to happen. And some of the things that God has been speaking to us about this warfare is that, first of all, the leaders are going to start praying. You can join the leaders if you want. Our individual prayer lives are going to have to take a step up. Not be passive and not take a back seat. What are you willing to pay? God gave, what are you willing to give God? What are you willing to pay in order to see souls won? In order to affect the lives of untold millions around the world. You see, God is raising up a Joshua generation of which you are a part of. If you don't see yourself as part of this generation, you will not be part of this. That's the bottom line. If you don't see yourself as part of it, God will remove you. My heart is that you will find yourself in God, lost in God, and become so used of God that, you know what? Souls will be won into God's house like never before. You have to believe. You have to understand that, you know, some of the things that God's been speaking to me goes against my grain. I tend to be a person who wants to be involved, and God's saying, it's time to step back. It's time to release them. I like to be involved, but it's real hard. Today's the first time. God said, sit there. And everybody's, come on, come on. I'm not going to disobey God. No way. I want to see Him move. I want to see Him flood the streets of the towns. I want to see the bars closed. I want to see the addicts delivered. I want to see broken families mended. I want to see broken hearts put together in such a way. I want to see families praying together and loving one another the way God has designed it to be from the foundations. That's my heart. But my job is to teach you how to do that. If you're willing. If you're willing. What are your desires? What are your desires? Jesus was born to invade this physical realm. He was born to begin to reclaim what Satan usurped. He spent time with the masses, but He dedicated His life to the 12, of which 11 took the gospel and turned the world upside right. Are you ready to invade your family? Are you ready to invade your place of employment? Are you ready to invade your high schools, elementary schools? Are you ready to invade your places of employment? Because you're already there. All you need to start doing is praying. Let the Spirit of God come in with you. Watch what God does. And when the opportunity arises, and ask God to open your eyes to recognize the opportunities. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter that you feel unprepared or inadequate. God is ever ready. And He is the one who will give you the words to say. He is the one who will cause you to breathe wisdom into a person's life that is from on high, not from earthly realm. He is the one that's going to cause you to endure the hardships and pains of life. Because they are only for a moment. Glory is going to be forever. And that's what we got, church. That's what we got. We got a glory coming. We got glory coming. And we're part of that. It blows me away how Jesus started His public ministry. He lived a life to experience the human condition, and never once did He sin. When he started His public ministry, He taught the masses by parable, but He enlightened His disciples through teaching. And God has said, what you need now is to know that you hear from Me, you just haven't recognized My voice. Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice and follow after Me. That's why we're doing a study on hearing God. Because I know you guys hear from God. You just aren't sure that you're hearing Him. You're not sure if it's Him, the world, Satan, or whatever. It's important that we know our Lord and understand His voice and relish the communication that we have. Prayer isn't something to be bored. Prayer is something that we should be running to all the time because we want to spend time with God. And spend time with God's people, hearing what God's saying. And Irene can tell you, there's been times I've been with other prophets, and we're just sitting there hour upon hour upon hour, sharing the revelation that God has given to us. And it seems like we're gaining revelation as we're speaking to one another. We're being edified because God is not saying something to one part and something else to another part. He's saying the same thing. We just don't maybe understand fully what God's saying. But if we are not relating, how are we going to be doing that? And that's two things that God has me to do, is begin to start bridging the gaps between the churches in Williamstown and start, instead of calling them the church of this or church of that, we are the church of Williamstown. Diversity within different faiths, and they're allowed to believe what they want to believe. They don't have to believe like we believe. But the bottom line is, the church of Williamstown has been given a mandate and a destiny to fulfill, and it's about time we start working together.
Amen.
Amen. The other mandate that God's given to me is I must begin to start working with the local businesses. Jesse and I went to a Christian bookstore. It's called Lighthouse Christian Bookstore in Blackwood. Brand new. It's been there a couple years. And the pastor and I, we just started talking. We just started clicking. And I'm sharing with him. He's sharing with me what God's doing. And I told him, I said, God wants us to start working together. He says, I believe that, brother. Here's my number. Call me when you're ready to get started. I want to be involved. Do you want to be involved? Here's a man of God whose desire is to relate with other churches so we can see the souls of men come into the kingdom of God. That all this evil that's being unleashed upon the land, God can put an end to if we work together. Can you see the greater possibilities of what's going on? And this was a black brother. You've got to break down the barriers. You know, I don't see black or white, purple, green. I see red people. People who are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you believe that He's incarnate? Do you believe that He rose from the dead? Do you believe He atoned for you? Yes. Okay, we can work together. We got the basics covered. That's all that matters. I'm even willing to work with the Catholics. We've got to seek God. And the first step of seeking God is the leaders must begin to seek God. From that, the church will begin to start seeking God because the overflow of the anointing just permeates. What is on my mantle will eventually work onto the mantle of the leaders. The leaders' mantle will fall upon the congregation. And we will just fall in love with God like never before, doing whatever it is that He wants us to do. Irrespective of who we think we are or what we want, we must be obedient to the leading of God. Church, Jesus told us to go and bring them in. He's telling streams to go and grow the kingdom. Go and grow the kingdom. We've been planting seed. Now I'm expecting a harvest. Are you expecting a harvest? Are you expecting that the things that you've been putting into people's lives begin to germinate and start to grow? Or are you just putting things into people's lives? I put things into people's lives with a purpose and a plan and expectation. And when I don't see that happening, I begin to seek God again to find out if it's the right stuff I'm using, if it's the soil is good, if there's circumstances that's involved in a person's life that I can help them weed that junk out so that they can become the most productive in the Lord's hands. You see, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. But the reward is so great that we cannot imagine it. Just like a baby, when it's given birth that first day, you know, we have all the anguish. The fathers have the anguish of watching the mom grow and you know, we've ruined their shape and stuff because they're having babies and all. But you know what? The moms are thinking, you know, God, I'm carrying all this stuff around, you know. And I look at it as the burden of the Lord that's upon the church. She's carrying all this stuff around and she's ready to give birth to the Joshua generation. When the Joshua generation comes, we forget all about all the stuff that transpired before. Don't you, moms? You've forgotten all about all the pain, all the anguish. You don't even care about your physical well-being anymore. All that matters is another person has been born, and it's all love. God is about to birth the Joshua generation. I want to see it birthed here. Do you want to see the Joshua generation, of which that's who you are? You're the last great mighty generation before the second coming of the Lord, who's going to take us out of here. I want to take as many people with us as we possibly can. How about you? If you're with me, let's get started. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I just rejoice in your word, God. Help us, Lord. Help us to put down the earthly flesh, Lord God. Help us to put down our earthly desires and our selfish mentalities, Lord God. and help us to see the bigger picture, Lord. Help us to be encouraging one to another. Help us to edify one another. Help us to put good things into one another, Lord God. And most importantly, God, I ask that you forgive us, God. How juvenile we've been, Lord God. How we've picked on each other and how we've made accusations against each other and how we've really been so selfish and self-centered. God, I ask, Father, that you bless your people. I pray that the net that's been cast out today, God, your people would grab a hold of and bring in a large harvest for your glory. God, I'm not going to be satisfied with a 30 harvest. I'm not going to even be satisfied with a 60 harvest, God. I want to see a 100-fold harvest come in, God. I want to see us double, quadruple the kingdom of God. I want to see us to do the impossible because you are the God that can do all things, God. There's nothing impossible with you. And God, you're my Father. You promised to take care of us. You promised to provide for us. You promised to protect us. And God, I know I'm secure in your hands. And if it's time for me to go on to glory, then it's all right for me to check out of Hotel 6. God, but I just want to do your will. I ask, Father, that you plant that desire into your people's hearts so that we can get on about the business of building the kingdom and seeing people give you the glory, God. I thank you again, God, as we begin this new year, God, that we would be focused to do your will. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.